الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. Respected brothers, elders, before I begin with my topic for today, there is a story that was once related to me that a person was carrying a very beautiful kid goat under his arm one day. And there were a few robbers that were in the vicinity, and they said, instead of going and snatching it away from him, we will use a different strategy today. So they made their mashura, and the first one came up to him and told him that you have a very beautiful dog in your hand. A very beautiful pup you got in your hand. He said, no, this is not a pup, this is a goat. I said, well, it looks like a dog to me. So he went away. And then the second one came along and told him, how are you? Fine, thanks. After that, he told him, but you got a nice dog there. So he said, but it's not a dog, it's a pup, it's a kid. It's a goat. But then there was some change of heart. So he takes it and he puts it, now he's pulling it with a string. And then the third one comes to him, greeted him, how are you? He said, nice dog you got. He said, no, it's not a dog, it's a goat. And then finally when the fourth one came to him, and when he also said, but you got a very nice dog there, he said, well, why don't you just take it then if it's a dog? Now exactly the same thing has happened to the Muslims of today, that pristine and beautiful deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us as the reciters of this kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, slowly it was made to seem like against the norm of the time to be practicing this religion. It made it seem backward to be practicing on this religion. And it made it seem as if we are retrogressing if we have to hold on to the fundamentals of our deen. And this convincing has been done over such a long period of time that sometimes we cannot recognize the beauty of this deen anymore. Like that person gave his goat away thinking that it was a dog. Na'udhu billah, some Muslim, weak Muslim will even give his deen away and take kufr in lieu of that. The question we are asking today is that in the time of the Sahaba, it was so easy for them to do great sacrifices for the sake of this deen. And it was also so beloved to them to do that. And today, it has become so difficult for us, and inverted commas, we could say sometimes it is a burden to read 5 times namaz also. So the question that we are asking today, what was that impetus that they had? What was that motivation that Sahaba had that they could sacrifice everything for this deen? Not only sacrifice for this deen, but they would vie with each other, compete with each other, to be selected to do the task of deen. And if we go into the history, we will see that Sahaba Ikram, the youth of that time, they would stand on their toes to be chosen to go in the path of Allah, to sacrifice their lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two Sahaba in the Ghazwa Tabuk, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, are competing with each other to finance that expedition of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were those in Ghazwat Tabuk that went back weeping, that they weren't able to sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. And in every avenue, in every facet of this deen, if you saw, it was so easy for the Sahaba, so enthusiastically they would fulfill an injunction of this deen. Just like today, a contrast to that would be that a person that is invited to a game and to acquire the ticket to that game is expensive. But it will cost him a flight to get to that game. He will have to buy that ticket. He will have to leave his family for those few nights to go and view that game or that show. And he is prepared to do all that, go through all that difficulty. And he won't even think back. In actual fact, he will find it an honor that he is chosen to attend that show. He is chosen to be there when that match takes place. And he will feel important over others that have been deprived of that. But when it comes to spending a night in the masjid, or spending, if a person says today that I would like to offer you a contract with the best phone on the market for 100 rand a month. The person won't even think twice. He's looking at the valuable phone. He's looking at the contract that he's getting with all the free minutes, all the advantages. And he says, I'll take that. But the same person is told to him that, can we have a debit order of 100 rand to the masjid every month? He said, let me think about it. So again, we ask this question, that why did it become so easy for Sahaba to make great sacrifices for this deen, and they did it with a pleasure, whilst it has become difficult, in inverted commas, a burden for us to fulfill our deen, to do basic things of our deen. The third question that we ask is that why is it that whenever we listen to talks from the ulama or dini talks, they sound very demotivating. They sound as if we are being scolded all the time. They sound as if it is something that does not appeal to me. There should be much more motivation and encouragement in these talks. So the answer to all these questions, these three questions, I would propose is what we call an environment. An environment is so persuasive to insan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to insan, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Insan has been created weak. He has in his mind that somebody comes up to him and gives him the virtue of a certain vehicle or a certain property in a certain place. And after he's pumped with all the virtues and the goodness of that vehicle, his mind is made up that I want that vehicle. And somebody comes up to him and says that there's only a limited edition of this vehicle. So you have to hasten to get it, otherwise you're not going to get it. That whole night he is turning this way and that way, waiting for the next day that I can make that phone call and acquire that vehicle. But on his way, he meets somebody else. And this person says that you're going very enthusiastically, where are you off to? He says, I'm going to purchase that vehicle. I want to own that vehicle. He says, oh, that vehicle, I had one, but I didn't find much joy in that vehicle. I had this problem, that problem. With the petrol price going up, that's the last vehicle I'll buy. Now he's taking two steps back. That same person that couldn't sleep the whole night because of that enthusiasm and that willingness, now he's just changed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows how the environment can affect insan. In the story of Maryam alayha salam, she was staying in the mihrab, a special room in the church in those days, in the place of worship. And when Zakaria alayhi salam used to bring her food or visit her, he used to see unseasonal fruit in her possession. So he used to ask her, "Anna laki hada? Where do you get these unseasonal fruit from?" So she used to say, "Qalat huwa min indillah." This comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Inna Allah yarzuqu man yasha'u bighayri hisab." Allah Ta'ala sustains whoever He wants, how much He wants. So in that environment, she didn't find anything strange